Welcome to show number 77 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everybody. It is great to be here. Hopefully everything's going well for you. Things are certainly going well for me. The sun is shining here today in California, and that's a good thing because, you know, I know the sun isn't shining in all places in the United States and probably across the whole world. So hopefully everybody that listens to the show is doing well. I know we've had tornadoes and all kinds of crazy weather, especially across the middle part of the country. So hope everybody's doing good out there. Hopefully everything's intact. Hopefully the baseball collection, but maybe more importantly, the family and the house and the vehicles are doing okay. So hopefully things are good. And to take your mind, if those things are bothering you, if those kind of things might happen to bother you, you can take your mind off it for the next maybe hour, 45 minutes to an hour, because we've got a great program today. And normally, when I begin a show, I always say, hey, we got a great program. We got great things on the way. And to be quite honest with you, I'm guessing. I'm not 100% sure if we're going to have a great program or not. So hopefully you guys will think we have a great program, because I think we definitely have a great program today, because it's not all that often that I record segments before we come to air, but I've actually recorded a wonderful 30-minute interview with Tracy Hackler from Panini, and I'm going to try not to spoil too much of it, but we talk about some great stuff in this interview. We got the rookie premiere. We got about Panini going global and selling their products all over the world. We got some discussion about that. We talk about contenders hockey. We talk about prestige football. Both have come out recently, so you definitely want to take a look at that. And if you weren't involved in our contest, you'll at least want to go to our YouTube page and check it out. The last couple of videos, I just got a new Cisco flip camera. It was like $100. I got like $10 off, so it ended up being like $109 with tax, which about what you probably would pay in stores. But what's cool, there's a little battery case on there, and they can print your own logo on there. So I actually printed Sports Card Radio on there, so it's actually pretty cool. And it shoots in HD, so you can actually go, if you go to our videos right when we post them up, if you're that kind of super loyal Fan Forum member that I know we have some of you out there, sometimes the videos aren't processed fully yet, but if you wait, 20, 30 minutes, or even, definitely the next day and the weeks after, you can go and you can upgrade. It depends on your settings, I guess, with your YouTube. I guess you can set it to all videos to show up in HD if that setting is there, or you could set it to go to a lower quality if you have a bad internet connection. Watching videos in HD really is a pain because you have to let it buffer out for so long. But if you got really super fast internet, and you got, you know, if you're watching on your PlayStation 3 or something, or wherever, you can watch, you know, really nice high definition, you know, if you got a nice monitor or something and you want to watch the videos in HD and you want to see my bitten down fingernails even closer than you have before, you could definitely check out our videos now. So they look pretty crisp, and I've checked a couple of them out. I don't have super fast internet, so I haven't watched one all the way through at HD, but it does look really good when you click up the quality. You can definitely see the quality on the cards a lot better. So if you want to see some nice videos of contenders hockey and prestige football, you can see those. I try to show off the cards as much as I can in those videos, considering they're much better looking than I am. So we'll go on to other things. I don't have a whole lot, I guess, to talk about. We got a great interview. I don't want to take up too much time of the show from that, but I did want to say one thing. We have a fantastic, one of our best Fan Forum members. Ever since he signed up, he's been one of the most loyal posters. Ever since he signed up around October 19th, 2009, he has over 1,200 posts, and a lot of them are really good. A lot of them, it's not just like entering contests and stuff like that, although that's not too big of a deal. But 82 Redbirds, definitely one of the elite members of the Fan Forum, has a new job, and I'm really excited about this because I'm excited to see what kind of things he'll be able to publish at the Cardboard Connection, one of the sponsors of the show. But even if they weren't, I'd be super excited for him either way. So I'm excited that I think I even recall when he first signed up, he was either just getting back into collecting or kind of getting more serious about it. And it's good to see that progression over, I guess, about 2 years almost now. And it's progressed all the way into a gig right now. And you never know how these things work out. So, I tell everybody, and I heard it when I was young, and I guess I didn't really believe it. If you're listening to this and you're like 13 or 14 years old, it wasn't that long ago for me. So I do remember what it was kind of like to be that age. And I remember people telling you, hey, you got to work hard. You got to believe in what you got to do. You got to have passion about it. A lot of the times, even up until maybe a couple years ago, I kind of thought, hey, whatever. As long as you work kind of hard and you do your thing, things are going to work out. But truly, really in life, if you really do work tremendously hard, and oftentimes to work hard at something, you have to be very passionate about it, and you got to love what it is, whether it's talking about baseball cards, whether it's eating sunflower seeds, whether it's doing gardening and planting. I actually enjoy doing yard work and stuff like that. That's actually exciting and fun to me. I actually enjoy the process of that, whereas like vacuuming, I hate vacuuming, but I love sweeping. So it's you got to be passionate about it, and you got to go for it. More specifically about jobs and things like that, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if the career path is $20,000 and a one-bedroom apartment or something like that. Whatever it is you're passionate about, you got to go for it. And so I like to see people that get into the hobby, get into anything. Doesn't have to be sports cards. Get into whatever they really like and go full bore with it. And then you'll be amazed at the opportunities that continue to open up. So here's one example, one of our own. If you've been on the fan forum, you definitely haven't missed any of 82 Redbird's posts. You know who he is. And so here's a good example of somebody that has taken up something in his life and is passionate about it and has turned it into an opportunity. And I think if he continues to, progress, not only as a writer, but also as a collector, he'll continue to see opportunities open up for him. So I think those examples are far, not few and far between is what I was trying to say, because perfect segue into our interview guest, who has literally made a career, went to college, and has made basically a career and a life out of working in the business of sports cards, and has done a very good job, and I think continues to do an amazing job for Panini. So I wanted to we'll get to that interview with Tracy Hackler right after this. Excited to be joined today by Tracy Hackler from Panini America. Thanks for coming on the show today, Tracy.
Hey, Colin, it's my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. And got quite a few things to talk about here, but that we got some member questions and all that, and quite a few of them wanted to know a little bit about your background, how you got such an amazing job, and how you ended up in that position, because I think a lot of them are young and in school, and they want to maybe be in your position at some point, working for a card company or working in an industry that's exciting and changes all the time. So maybe take us a little bit through your background and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I am completely blown away that I get to do this for a living, and that I've been able to do this for a living for, man, almost 15 or 16 years now. I thank my lucky stars every day. I'm just a blessed dude.
Nice.
But, I started, I was a majored in journalism in college way, way long ago at the mighty University of North Texas. And
cool.
A little company called Beckett Publications back at the time was looking for an intern. And I interviewed for the gig. I was working on the school paper at the time and was a big sports guy, obviously, and knew Beckett. I was a big collector, too, so it was kind of a dream opportunity for me, and interviewed for the internship, got the job, and spent my summer, I guess, of 95 there, and then went to work for a local newspaper for about 3 or 4 months, and Beckett, a guy named Pepper Hastings, a real good friend of mine, ended up calling me about 4 months later and said, hey, we have a full-time gig here if you want it, and I said, heck yes, you know, when do I start? And then, you know, I was there on the editorial side at Beckett for 5 years, and then I had a great opportunity present itself to go to Donruss Trading Cards at the time and worked in the marketing and PR and advertising departments there. Also a little bit of customer service. And then in true boomerang form, I had another opportunity to open up at Beckett and went back there for 6 years. And then last October, I had Mark Warsop, our CEO here at Panini America, called and said that there might be an opportunity here, and I jumped at it, and it's been a blast. So it's been a dream career so far, and like I said, I think my lucky stars every day I get to come in.
Nice. And I think not just saying this because you're on the phone here, I think everybody would agree that Panini's presence online, through the blog, through the photos that you guys have, I saw today you got National Treasures, Hoops, Basketball, Season Update, Basketball. I'm a big fan of basketball, so I love seeing the basketball stuff. So, I mean, I think the presence since you've gotten to Panini, it has in boomerang fashion gone way up, and I've seen quite a bit more presence for not only from you but maybe from other people within the organization, you know, presenting some good stuff to collectors. And not only that, you're coming on programs like this. So we definitely appreciate it, and I think you're doing a pretty good job there.
I appreciate that.
Hey, no problem.
It's been a lot of fun here, man. You know, there's just something that fascinates me every day, whether it's the early looks on the routing table or, you know, behind-the-scenes videos or the production process. And, you know, having the official licenses with the NFL and NFL players and the exclusive with NBA and the NHL and NHL players license as well, there's always something going on. And I know, because I'm a collector too, I mean, you just can't show people enough, and you can't show them early enough. So right. Luckily I've been given an opportunity here to kind of bring collectors early looks and behind the scenes looks at everything we do, trying to bring them closer to us and closer to the process. But and then coming on shows like this, when I love what you do, and I love what the blogosphere represents for a lot of collectors, and the other websites and forums, and so to be a part of it. It's a really interesting time as it relates to how manufacturers disseminate their information, and it's fun to be on the good side of it.
Yeah, definitely. And you said that you were a collector yourself. What kind of things do you collect yourself? I think we see a lot of your promotional work. Do you have your own collection at home? Are there things that, or is there a set in particular that you really get into? Or, you know, what has it been hard to collect, I guess, since you've been working in the industry so long? I guess a couple questions there.
No, you know, yeah, absolutely. I grew up collecting. I started when I was 7 years old with my brother, Tim. You know, he and I would walk to the corner 7-Eleven every day during the summer, spend our 25 or 50 cents on baseball and football cards, and kind of started then. And I've been a longtime Denver Broncos and John Elway fan, so I've got a pretty nice card collection of Elway and of the Broncos, and then more recently some of the more modern era Broncos, like obviously Tim Tebow, but Ed McCaffrey, you know, Vance Johnson, Rod Smith, all those guys I've tried to focus on. As you well know, and a lot of your listeners know, it's really hard to kind of focus on everything now, and you've got to kind of pick and choose what you buy. I try to focus my collecting on obviously Panini America trading cards. But
right.
Look, I've been fortunate to be around a lot of athletes, and try not to get too geeky when I do that. But but yeah, I mean, I'm a collector at heart, and that's one of the things I think that makes Panini America stand out, is that our whole product development team, a lot of people on our production teams, they're diehard collectors themselves. And so I think that passion shows in the products.
Nice, nice. Now, speaking of products, you thankfully you sent a very nice, generous. We got Contenders Hockey and Prestige Football, two of the I think the newest products that you guys have out. And
absolutely,
both of them I really liked for kind of the same reasons. I like the SPs in both of them. I noticed you guys are putting out the information on the hockey SPs on your blog. And that's going out over the course of several weeks. And I like that. I like the mystery. Like you said, there's a lot of forums. There's a lot of websites out there. And I think it's nice when sets come out there where people can go to any forum they decide or any website they want and communicate with other collectors about, hey, what are the SPs? What are the, you know, special ones to get? And I like that. I know Contenders had that. Prestige had that. I think we got an AJ Green where he was holding up his jersey. And I thought that was really cool. So I like those. I like those random where you're flipping through the cards and it's not just you're looking for the autographs and the jerseys. You're looking for maybe a picture variation or some kind of foil. And I really like serial numbered cards and things like that. So I liked both of those sets. For that reason, I guess I had one question about Contenders Hockey. It's they have the ticket theme. I think in the past, I think it was Donruss or somebody in the past had actual tickets from a game. I think they tied it to like the guy's first game in the NBA. They had an actual ticket. I was wondering if the logistics are too difficult to get enough of the tickets or to get that enough of them from a diverse number of teams and players to make something like that possible. But I thought, what a perfect tie-in with Contenders, the way they do the tickets, to actually have actual tickets in the cards. You know, if that has ever been suggested or if that's difficult to do.
I think we've probably talked about it. I think I don't know if it was Donruss, but I think a manufacturer, at least one, has done something like that in the past. Like you said, it's a great tie-in with the rookie ticket theme, and I think it would probably present some logistical hurdles, but I don't think it would be impossible. It's certainly something that we could pass by our product development guys and see what that might look like. But to your point, it's a great idea and would fit well with that rookie ticket theme.
Right. And I was just thinking, I used to sell season tickets myself, and I know that I always used to end up with, because you used to be able to email them, and I used to end up with books and books of tickets. And I was thinking, man, it'd be great to get this on a trading card. So I don't know. I know that that's much more complicated than that. So I was just throwing that idea out there. And if some other people send that idea, and maybe we'll actually see it happen. We'll see.
But no, absolutely. You know, and we would then, because as you know, as a former season ticket seller yourself, tickets themselves are pretty sought after on the market by collectors. So it would be an interesting challenge to have us competing against ticket collectors and getting those things.
Right. I think, yeah, the ticket itself does have some value, and then I think I'm sure you could do all kinds of autographs or whatever you wanted to do on it. It'd be kind of interesting. So I just thought I would throw that out there.
Absolutely, man. You could do variations too, where it's the guy's first game, a guy's first home game, the game when he scored his first touchdown. The collectible options are seemingly limitless.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people have a problem. I think you probably do have to cut up the ticket, and that I don't think anybody has a problem with that. I think it actually looks nice. I've seen it in some cards. Looks nice. I think it looks nice. But anyways, we might have others. I might throw out other suggestions throughout the program. We'll see. But we have other questions here. One thing I wanted to talk about was the rookie premiere. I guess it was maybe a week or two ago. And it wasn't your first time going, is that correct?
No. That was probably my fourth or fifth one to go to.
Fourth or fifth time. So I was kind of wondering how it compared this year with, we kind of have this cloud over the NFL hanging over anybody involved in that industry, kind of hanging over our heads, wondering if they're actually going to play football. I was wondering how it compared this year in years past, where it was pretty certain that they were going to roll right into training camp and start playing football. Was the atmosphere any different, or was it maybe more loose? I was kind of curious on that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And the atmosphere was different. I mean, every year the whole vibe of the event really comes down to the 30 to 35 or 6 players that come, and those guys kind of set the tone for how the weekend will go. But this year, I think because there hasn't really been any organized team activities or mini camps or quarterback camps or anything, this was kind of their first foray into being NFL players. And so they were all, to a man, I mean, all the players were just polite. They were nice. They were easygoing, were willing to do what we needed them to do to get our stuff taken care of. But they were all great spirits, great attitudes. And I think I could certainly tell that they seemed really happy to be together, because those guys go through a lot. I mean, a lot of those guys worked out together, getting ready for the combine, so they all know each other. But to see them all in their uniforms for the first time and interacting with us and interacting with each other was really fun. I mean, the mood was relaxed and easygoing and fun. And kudos to NFL players for putting on that event every year. It's one of the most important days on the sports card calendar every year.
Yeah,
and
definitely,
we're thrilled to be a part of it.
I was wondering who was like the most maybe impressive athlete, maybe physically, and maybe if it's not the same guy, who was the most impressive maybe intellectually or just communication wise?
That's a good question too. Physically, as far as I can tell, and I like all these guys, but the guy who impressed me the most physically was Marcell Dareus, the defensive lineman out of Alabama, drafted by Buffalo at number 3. The guy, we saw him running around for our Panini America action shots, and the guy looked like he was running a 4.3. And he's so huge, but he's so agile and athletic. And I was kind of hoping, quite frankly, that the Broncos would take him at number 2. But Von Miller, hey, look, Von Miller's going to be fantastic too.
Yeah.
But Marcell Dareus impressed me both physically and just a great, huge personality.
Cool.
Always had a smile on his face. Great sense of humor. So he was fantastic. Another guy and I didn't really know what to expect out of Mark Ingram, but he was outstanding in terms of just how he interacted with us and his willingness to have fun with us and to pose and do the things that we asked him to do. And just personality, again, sense of humor, just great, great dude. And I was really impressed with him too.
Cool. What about the number 1 pick, Cam Newton? I know there was some rumors that maybe he wasn't going to show up, and then he did. Was he in good spirits? Was that just a miscommunication, or do you know anything?
You know, I don't really know what led to the kind of indecision on the front end, but I can say that he was great to be around. He was nice, great smile. You know, real good kid. Look, man, the guy's under the microscope already.
He's
a number 1 pick, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion. So he's been on this big stage for quite a while. But I thought he handled himself well. We actually on Friday before the rookie premiere shoot Saturday, I was able to escort both Cam Newton and Mark Ingram to the NFL Network's studio set, where they announced their trading card deals with Panini America on Total Access.
Nice.
So I spent some time in the car with Cam going over, and I mean, just no attitude. I mean, he was great. He was laughing. You know, he was a good guy too. I mean,
cool.
This year's class, and every year, I mean, the classes are great. Each one is kind of different, but man, all the guys this year were phenomenal to be around.
Cool. Well, switching gears, actually going further back in time, I had the opportunity to meet you in Las Vegas at the end of March, I think it was, at the Industry Summit. And now that we're a couple months out from that, I know Panini made some changes to some of their distribution a little bit. And I actually have a follow-up question maybe about that. But in terms of some of the things, the ideas that you got and some of the dialogue that you got from that event, now that we're a couple months from it, what kind of things have you seen maybe either doing differently or you've started to talk about and maybe think about a little bit differently since that event? Has there anything really stood out since then?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we were pretty bold, excuse me, at the event about this was the year of the hobby shop for Panini America. And so a lot of our initiatives there in Vegas at the summit and since then have revolved around getting information from hobby shops to find out what they need to be more successful. And so a lot of the things that I personally have been working on since then is just more communication with the dealers around the country when it comes to helping them out with events in their shops, in terms of information on our products, what we can do to better inform not only the hobby shops, but obviously the hobby shops' customers.
Right.
And so I've been primarily working on that front. It's always good to go there because we all get so busy, all of us. And you know how it is. You go to the event and there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of synergy and you're talking about things that you will do better and make for a better year next year, and then you get back to the office and you kind of work on them a little bit, and then you real life, for lack of a better term, gets in the way and you have your head down,
right,
plowing ahead. So getting back to the industry summit every year is a great way to kind of remind all of us that, hey, we need to stay in touch throughout the year, and we need to not just talk about these things for 1 week in March, but work on them the rest of the 51 weeks of the year.
Yes. Yes, yes. I think since I attended, it was my first year, so I think I've seen progress and different things happen just in the last couple months. So I'm encouraged to see going forward the more changes that happen. And one change you guys talked about was kind of like distribution and selling online and things like that, and it kind of, I don't really have a question directly related to that, but we had several fan forum members that were from Australia, we have some from the UK. They talk about sometimes it's difficult to get Panini products or maybe even cards in general. I probably should ask them that, you know, the environment in terms of opening a store, but maybe I can imagine there's some customs and trade and like shipping a product of that quantity overseas and stuff like that. I can imagine there's some difficulties there, but maybe is that something you guys have talked about, maybe kind of globalizing the brand a little bit more? Because several people did mention they have a tough time sometimes getting product in Australia or in other countries. I was wondering, what are the hurdles that I know that are in place already there, and maybe what are some things that are maybe trying to address those?
Well, you mentioned a lot of the hurdles in terms of just shipping and logistics and getting any kind of volume over borders, but we've certainly heard those issues from people in Australia or in South America or in any number of different places, and I don't know that we have like ironclad solutions to them, but
right.
I can tell you that our sales and distribution folks know that there's a need over in those areas, and they're working on ways to try to make our products easier to obtain. And so I can't speak maybe as intimately as I should be able to about it, because I'm just not in those areas a lot, but
right.
I do know that they're aware of the concerns and they take them seriously.
Okay, yeah, and I'm thinking that's really like, once those hurdles are crossed, I think there's going to be a nice explosion for cards a little bit, or at least a steady period of growth, because I think people in other countries would really, really latch on to players we might kind of ignore in our country. But they are some of the – I haven't traveled there, so I don't know firsthand. But from what I read and stuff like that, these – some guys, average – quote-unquote average player in the NBA is a huge, massive star in his country and is one of the most – biggest celebrities in his country, and maybe one of the most successful people in his country, and I think that's really powerful. And I think those people, if they could get exposed to their trading cards, would pay. We've seen it with Ichiro, and I've seen way back when I used to collect. I remember Ichiro was one of the first Japan baseball players where you had people from Japan really bidding up on products. So I hope that. I know the hurdles really aren't your fault necessarily. It's more borders and sometimes governments and things like that and taxes. So I hope things like that can get worked around or can get in place. And maybe if enough collectors get developed in Australia and stuff in other countries, they'll maybe some attention will be brought to it. I hope so, at least.
Those are all good points. One of the things that we try to do with our blog and our website and Twitter, Facebook, is we try to give back as many prizes through contests as we can to the collectors. And I'm not amazed by it, but I'm always kind of surprised when I see when I'm going through all the contest entries and I see a lot of Australian basketball fanatics. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Canada's it's not the same situation, but. Over in Asia and Germany, I mean, there's just collecting cards is obviously a global hobby, and we see that with virtually every contest we run, obviously, and we get the emails and we get the phone calls from folks who aren't thrilled that they have a hard time finding cards that they want to collect. And
right.
So if there are people who want this stuff, we need to try to find a way to give it to them.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I know that's a tough issue. That would be a great job. I would love to work on that. That would be fascinating to get into all that. I got a couple more questions. I know
sure.
You're a busy man and you got things to do.
You
say that.
You,
I know you got, but actually a couple quick questions. The concept of adrenaline. Were you at Panini when that came about? We have a ton of adrenaline fans. They were kind of curious how that kind of came to birth and how maybe that is going to continue to progress over the years.
Well, I wasn't here, but I was at Beckett when they first launched that in the here, and I mean it came about obviously as a way to kind of twofold, I guess. One is that getting younger kids involved in collecting and teaching them some of the principles of collecting, with the hopes that they will transition to sports cards as they get older. But so that's one part of it. The other part is it's obviously trying to take advantage, kind of a melding of sports and collecting and online gaming. And you said you had a lot of your members who collect adrenaline, and we see that too with the online store, the store.paniniamerica.com.
Yes,
that's the most popular item on the store is the adrenaline
yes.
packs.
Yes, I can imagine. Yes.
And it's not just kids. As you said, it's a lot of collectors. One of the things I really like about adrenaline from a pure collecting standpoint is it has the most extensive checklist of just about any product we make.
Yes.
So there's a lot of players from a lot of teams that don't ordinarily get trading cards have adrenaline cards. And the virtual aspect of it, playing it online, it's something that didn't really resonate with me until I came over here and started doing shows. And at every show we do, whether it's the NBA All-Star Game or the NHL All-Star Game, the Super Bowl, we always demo adrenaline. And people love it. The kids love it. They love playing it. And then going online and being able to unlock your virtual card. It's been a success for us. And it's
good.
Something we're proud of and looking forward to expanding on.
Okay, good. I don't think it gets talked about on the mainstream because a lot of the young kids, they're in school. They got better things to do than have a blog and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
But it's from what I've seen from the ground level, these kids love these cards and they love collecting them and they love the parallels and the extra signatures and the more powerful ones. The more you can do with that, where maybe even they progress throughout the season or anything you can do with the online component, especially a lot of them can't afford to go to Target or their mom has to drive them or whatever. So buying them online works, and being able to sit there and play the game and trade with their friends and interact, it works. It's working very well, and I think the more you guys do with it, the more success. And I think, as you said, as these kids get older, a lot of them are involved in our contests and other contests, and they happen to maybe pick up an extra box here or there, or they trade. I think it is translating into them becoming collectors, becoming more familiar with the players and who's good and who's really good.
Yeah.
So I think it works. That question actually came from, I want to give credit to Marshall 37 for that one.
Thanks, Marshall.
Yeah.
37.
Another question. This is actually one that I was curious about. This comes from NW Sports Fan. He said after 8 months in terms of like a redemption online, he was wondering, you usually click a box where it's like you either wait, I think, 4 months or 8 months. And he was wondering, after the 8 months, do you automatically get a card? Or he was wondering, he really, really wants the redemption card and he's willing to wait longer than 8 months. Is there a protocol there where he can request that, or does he automatically get, if after 8 months you guys are going to move on? How does that work?
Man, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer, but I will.
Okay.
I vow to you that as soon as I get off this phone call, I will go find out the answer. But what I can say about that is that our customer service folks are willing to work with every individual collector. So if there is a case where a guy or gal wants that exact card and is willing to wait however long it takes to get it, all they have to do is let one of our CS reps know, and they will work with the collector individually. But in terms of a formal matter of business, I will find out the answer, and Colin, I'll email you, and if you can share it with him, that would be fantastic.
I'll definitely do that, and I'll post it in the appropriate places to let other people know, because that's what I'm curious about. I have a card that I hope after 8 months, if he doesn't sign it, I still am willing to wait. So,
no, it's a great question, too, and it's one of those things where, obviously, redemption is a dirty word in our industry, and we're doing everything we can to get our situation caught up and shored up, but that's one of the kind of the micro questions that might tend to get lost. So thank you for asking it, and I'll get you an answer here after I got the phone with you.
Okay, cool. And NW, that was from NW Sports Fan, so we appreciate him. And maybe my last question, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'll save it for the last. See, if I did this first, you might not want to talk to me the rest of the time. But put you on the spot. If you were to pick one Panini set, your absolute favorite, you're the one that if you were on your last $20 to spend on cards, that you would go for that, either that set or a particular card within a set or a particular insert set. Is there one?
That's a good question.
I don't think I could answer this. So I was.
I mean, obviously, I think I'm torn. Okay, because as a collector myself, I'm not a real high end guy. So I have the sheer blessing of being able to open a box of National Treasures, and but it's not my box, and I would never be able to. My wife would kill me. My two sons would kill me if I went and spent $500 on that box.
Right.
But that's not the kind of collector I am. So part of me would say, obviously, it's National Treasure, right? Because that's the high end National Treasures football. But thinking about it, kind of just logically, one of the most beautiful sets I think we've ever done was last year, the absolute memorabilia, oversized memorabilia jumbos, which I just thought were just gorgeous.
Nice.
I love the rookies and absolute memorabilia.
Yes.
So I think if I had to pick one, I would probably go with absolute memorabilia football.
Okay, awesome. That was a great tidbit of that question came from Jack Loves the Cubs. So
Jack, nice question, man.
Nice, yeah. I didn't put you on the spot, Jack did. So.
Well, Jack, that's good. Keep me honest, man. Keep me on the spot. I'll do everything I can to get you guys answers and try to be quick about it too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, cool. That's not something I'm very good at. I'm pretty long-winded myself. But I'll maybe follow up with you. If I have any other questions, I'll maybe follow up with you. We've taken up plenty of your time, a lot of your time today, so we really appreciate it, not only today, but in the past. A lot of people are sitting at home listening to this with free cards that they've gotten from Panini, and it didn't start happening until you got there. So, and I think it had a lot to do with that. So we really appreciate it. And everybody out there definitely appreciates it as well.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up, man. It's my honor to do what I do and to give back as much as I can to collectors. So thank you for what you do, and thank you to all your members and listeners and viewers for their support. And by any means, if you have more questions, get them to me, man, and I'll do my best to get answers. So thank you, and looking forward to the next time.
Hey, we'll do that. We'll follow up with you here real soon. Thanks, Tracy.
All right, Colin, you guys have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hopefully you've enjoyed our interview with Tracy from Panini America. I certainly did, and this might be one of the few podcasts that I actually go back and listen to, at least the interview portion, to kind of go back over some of the things we talked about. I think we talked about some interesting things. I tried not to make it, you know, Panini does a good job sending us boxes, and I try to promote them as much as I can, whether they did or not. If you listen to the show, you know I spend as much time talking about Tops and Upper Deck and many other several. I don't maybe do as good a job as covering some of the smaller brands. It's just, you know, Panini, Tops, and definitely Upper Deck now with their NCAA stuff. They do a good job at what they do. So that's kind of leaves not a whole lot of time, I guess, unless I was doing a show every day, which is possible. I'm not making any promises, but I guess that's possible. Then you'd have plenty of time to talk about those kind of, I guess, quote unquote, smaller products or whatever. But we do a good job at promoting Panini, I think. And so I wanted to get an interview where we talk about some interesting things. I threw out some suggestions. I think the ticket, I have to go back and see. I know there was a set, and if you know it, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. I believe it was in basketball where there was, you actually, the rookies got, you got a ticket from like the rookies first game or something, and they sent you the card. I don't know if it was via redemption. I know there was one where they also sent you, it was called like the postmarks or something, and they sent you like something that was postmarked from when the guy was drafted or something like that. But I'm pretty sure there was a set where there was actually game used. I'm pretty sure there's been other sets where it wasn't necessarily tied to a specific game, but they actually put tickets. I know there was a Super Bowl. Tops has done Super Bowl tickets and stuff like that. I remember getting a card maybe from a fan for a member. I can't remember how I got that card, but there was a Super Bowl ticket in there. I think I might have gotten that from the store, and I think I gave it away to a fan forum member. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I think with the rookie tickets and the way, so you could tell me if that's a bad idea. If you think that's a bad idea and Tracy shouldn't forward that on to the product development team, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. If you think it's a good idea, hey, share it with Panini. I think the more people that say, hey, that's a good idea, I think that would be tight. You know, maybe they'll look into it a little bit more. I think if they did look into it, it's something they probably could pull off. And, you know, I think we talked about it on the previous shows, and we talked to Tracy about the Vegas Summit. You know, the companies are always looking for that next card that, you know, does it for collectors outside, getting the athlete to sign it or getting the athlete to, you know, take off a jersey and they have to cut it up and whatnot. You know, not that a card with a ticket in it would be amazing, would be like a huge seller and be like the case hit or whatever. But I think these incremental little video cards and maybe some other little things to spice things up might be kind of interesting. And I think outside the jersey, I think we could see more hats and helmets and face masks and chin straps and wristbands and all kinds of stuff. I know that those come in smaller quantities. And so then to design the card and to get it all right, you're looking at, you know, less ROI, return on investment, because you can only make 20 of those cards or 15 or in some cases only one of them. You know, why do you, you know, pay a designer $50 an hour? And I did want to talk to Tracy a little bit more about the actual process of designing cards. Do they have people in-house that are do that? Is it the same people for across basketball? I wanted to talk to him a little bit about that. So maybe I'll shoot him an email after a period of time, and we'll try to get some more answers as time goes on. Maybe you can funnel those into me at sportscardshow@gmail.com, and we can get some clarification on that and see how those kind of things go. Obviously, Tracy, you know, he has a role within Panini, and I probably asked him some things that were definitely out, especially like global. I was thinking about it afterwards. You know, going global and selling your products global is a huge thing, and only companies like Pepsi and McDonald's and Microsoft and Apple are successfully doing it today. And companies like Google are trying to get into other countries. There are search engines much more popular in big internet technology centers in other parts of the world. They don't even use Google. So I found that to be, you know, in the NFL is a brand, while be it not a public company, if they were, they would be a fairly decent sized one. So the NFL is a big brand in the US, but is absolutely nothing else. It's basically what soccer is in this country. It has some presence, but it's just not enough to really make it really even scratch the surface to say you're a global brand. And so Panini has some challenges, and the biggest one I think might be exchange rates. Whenever you're selling to another country, you've got exchange rates, and then you've got taxes on top of that. So Panini can't just eat it on product that they send to, you know, if the box is $80 here in the U.S., you know, people in other countries need to pay probably around a similar value for that. But if you factor in exchange rates and taxes and the logistics of shipping it and custom fees and all this stuff, and all of a sudden you're left with an $80 box in the US but a $170 or $200 box in Australia, the people just wouldn't have it. So I think that, not to put words in Panini's mouth or make assumptions about their issues, I'm really just guessing here, but I think they have some challenges that they themselves can't even control. I think there's, you know, obviously in the US, I'm not too familiar with trade agreements and how it works, but I just know the U.S. does a heck of a good job of importing things into the country, but they do a horrible job in exporting. We obviously either don't like to do that, don't encourage it, or the barriers to do that are, you know, somewhat fall on the shoulders of the U.S. and somewhat fall on the shoulders of these other countries. But, you know, I think Panini can't necessarily drive those forces and can't necessarily change those things. I think those things will change over time. I think it'll start with currency. I don't think Barack Obama is going to go sit down with the leaders of, you know, although he is, although Barack Obama, you know, compared to maybe presidents we've had recently, has been slightly more open to at least visiting other countries and having open dialogue with some of these people. I don't know how much is getting done. I don't know how much he can get done. He may be setting things up to where his next 4 years, he might be able to get a little bit more done with these people because he'll have a relationship with them. I don't know. Obviously, we're talking about much more sensitive and much more important things than sports cards at the moment. But my point is it's very difficult for a company like Panini to go global, and you have lots of challenges and lots of issues, and some of it is outside the company's hands, and they kind of have to wait until those kind of things happen. But my point was, I guess, the Barack Obama and these leaders of these countries aren't necessarily going to be the ones that decide these. I really think it's going to be the currency, and the fact that you have the dollar and you got the euro and you got the yen and you got all these different countries, with different currencies. Although the euro, I think, is a good example of what will continue to happen over the course of our life. I don't know about my lifetime. I don't know. 40 years is a long time. 40, 50 years is my probably expected lifetime. I'll be like 70, 80 years old. That would be good. Knock on wood. Hopefully that would be great. I don't know. I don't know if we'll go to, you know, if you listen to enough economics, they talk about going to one currency and a global currency, or going back to having one currency like the dollars being like the pivot point and the fixed rate. I don't know. This is obviously getting maybe slightly over my head, definitely slightly over my head, and maybe slightly over some of our listeners' heads. But it goes to show you the challenges that I didn't want to get into too much of this when we had Tracy on, but I kind of wanted to explain further that, you know, Panini definitely wants their, I think Tracy even said it very emphatically himself, Panini wants their products in Europe. They want their products everywhere. They want their products in every corner of the globe, because it's possible because of great companies like UPS and FedEx and even the United States Postal Service. These companies do a great job. It's literally amazing to me that you can ship just about anything to any corner of the globe, even very remote places, for a somewhat for a fairly reasonable price. It's not gonna, I mean, unless you're shipping a Boeing 747, or, you know, obviously something very heavy and something fairly large, and, you know, you can't ship batteries or something, chemicals and things like that. But if I wanted to send you a document or a baseball card or something like that, it's not very expensive, and it's possible you can send packages. You know, I probably could have sent a package to my boy, not my boy, but our boy, what's his name? Osama bin Laden. He had a house. He had an address. He apparently had some male guys. I say my boy in quotes. He obviously did horrible things, and he's not my boy, and the things he did were horrible. But to kind of make light of it, we could have sent him a package. We probably could have got a FedEx package or something to him with the right connections and things like that. We could have got packages in to the most wanted man in the world. So it shows you that, hey, Panini's got that solved. They can ship their products anywhere in the world. But it does come down to, there's some global, I think it really does come down to exchange rates and trade agreements that between countries that are more friendly between some countries and not, like, you know, Canada, North America free trade agreement. I think that was spearheaded by Bill Clinton and the leaders of Mexico and Canada. And I think South America as well, maybe. I'm not exactly sure. But I know there's more of a free market there. It's much easier to ship things to Canada as a large business, and being a big business, you can ship to Canada and Mexico much easier than you could ship to Russia and some of the more, you know, more remote places. Not that Russia is remote, but the more remote places. So it's a challenge. And like I said on the show, I think it'd be great. I think it just shows that sports cards got a lot of room to grow, because if they had distribution to these countries and they could get product to your hand for the same price or for not much more of a premium than what we pay here, dollar for dollar value, I think it would be great. You would see cards just really just get much more valuable, I think, because you'd have people all over the world collecting random players. You know, J.J. Barrera for the Dallas Mavericks, he's from Puerto Rico. I was over at my uncle's place. He's a big basketball fan, and we were all over there watching the first NBA Finals game, and he was telling me, hey, you know, Jose Barrera dates Miss Universe or something. She's like Miss Universe. And I was like, wow, Jose Barrera's date Miss Universe. That's great. Not that I think he's unattractive or whatever, but to us, like I said with Tracy on the line, I was like, to most Americans, Jose Barrera is just an average basketball player. He's like, sixth man on the bench, seventh man on the bench, backup point guard to a Hall of Famer. You know, we know who Jason Kidd is much more than we know although I've known who J.J. Barrera is for, I think, three or four seasons now. He's a solid player, and we know him mainly because of his height. He's not a very tall player. But for most of them, that's all we know him on. He's the short guy on the Mavs that runs around the court and causes havoc and plays fairly well when he gets time. But he's dating Miss Universe. And I think part of it is because, in his country, in Puerto Rico, you know, no offense to anybody that's from Puerto Rico. I'm sure there's more very successful people that have come from that country. But right now, J.J. Barrera's got to be near the top of the list. I mean, this guy's in the NBA Finals. He's dating Miss Universe. I mean, this guy's a superstar over there. And if Puerto Rico had cards or was able to get, I mean, you can get on there and get cards. But if it was easier to ship in and out of the country, and it was no big deal. It was like shipping to your next door neighbor. You know, it was no big deal shipping to Puerto Rico. People would be buying J.J. Barrera cards. And if you didn't have to worry about exchange rates and all that, people would be buying J.J. Barrera cards because he's like the biggest thing there. He's dating the hottest woman and he's in the NBA Finals and he's doing good. So I think that's just a small example. I brought up Ichiro in the interview, but there's been tons of examples down the line where an entire country gets behind a player that's playing over here in America. And you could see his entire memorabilia value and his entire persona just goes up in value, especially if they're as successful as Ichiro. And even J.J. Barrera has been fairly successful in his young NBA career in a situation where he's playing behind a great player and a lot of other good players on that team. So that kind of sums up some points. Not to get too long-winded, I guess you could have just cut this podcast after the interview, because I thought that was excellent. And I was very happy, and thanks again to Tracy and the Panini Company for being good to Sports Card Radio in the past, and I'm sure in the future will continue to grow, and we'll continue to watch their company grow, because I think when we started this podcast, it's been about 3 years now. This actually might be, I forget if it was like June or July, I'm not exactly sure. It's near the first of the month. This actually might be close to our third year anniversary. And maybe if it's not, we'll try to do a show right on the three year date to celebrate and things like that. But we'll definitely look back. We'll definitely do a little 3 year look back. But to look back on our 3 years where we've watched Panini, we watched Panini grow from Donruss to they got the NBA. I remember talking about, when they got the NBA license and they were the only one with that, and they bounced Tops and Upper Deck. And, we've seen them really grow, and they got their football thing locked down. They don't have baseball, but nobody has baseball. And, baseball, I don't know. I think they do a pretty good job with football and basketball. And those are the sports I think Tops does do a pretty darn good job with baseball, and they've been doing a good job for a pretty long time. So I don't think there's although I think if you ask Panini, if we ask Tracy, they'd love to be making baseball cards right now because there's a lot of business there. But I think for me, I really like football and basketball cards a lot, and I really like collecting those. So I like seeing the competition there. I really do like seeing all the brands come and compete, because I think they all, we see video cards from one company, we see another company, they're about to come out with totally certified basketball, we're about to see another video card, we'll probably see more, enhancements on that, so I love seeing that kind of stuff. So hopefully we see more of it in the future, and we'll keep bringing people on the program. I'll have to see if we can't get somebody eventually from Tops and Upper Deck, because we haven't gotten them on the program. They don't necessarily, I have a contact at Upper Deck, so we'll maybe try to get them on and try to talk to them and maybe see what they're up to. We'll probably have some other interviews in the future as we go along. Whenever we run dry, we'll definitely get my brother on. That's probably what we'll do. Maybe we'll get him on for the three-year show. So you'll have that to look forward to. And probably lots of other things, lots of contests, and lots of other things going on the forum, on the website, lots of information. We've got there was like Tops marquee baseball, Topps Finest Baseball. We've got some new checklists up. We got my brother actually just put up the Prestige Football Review, so if you want to watch that video in HD and check out the scans of the cards and stuff like that. And I'll definitely get that with the hockey. My brother just bought a new scanner, but I don't have it right here with me at my apartment right now, so I'll have to get that, and we'll scan some cards. And we'll do that, and it'll be nice, and it'll be all good. It'll be good going forward. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. I promise you I'll stop being lazy. I got to fix this silly computer. I was going to say something else. This silly computer that I have here that is on its last leg because it's got all kinds of crap on it. And I got to fix that. So we're going to have our call-in line here soon, and I'm going to make you call in there and get me some content that way. I'm just kidding. You can call if you want. But maybe I'll definitely attach some prizes to it. We'll definitely do official like relaunch prizes. I've got to do a sports card focus too. That's kind of been sitting there like dead for the last couple months. So I need to refocus in a way on that. So you have that to look forward to. And I've been planning that for the last few weeks. Like everything else in my life, I think about it for much longer than it probably takes to even execute it, but it often goes through my head far longer than it does to execute. So hopefully I'll do a little bit more of that. My last bit of advice, off topic, since we did talk a lot about, although we did talk a little bit about logistics and politics today, to finish off on kind of the off topic note, check out the stock market, folks. You want to get over there and check that out and see the kind of market movement that we're having. I'm not guaranteeing it's going up this time like I have in the past. I'm definitely not guaranteeing you it's going down like I think I've said in the past. We're at that point where I think I've also said this on the show in the past. I'm not exactly sure which way it's gone after I've said this, but we're kind of at that point right now where the market's either going to wave out and it's not really going to do a whole lot. We're going to see some moves up and down. Moves up and down are good things. The waves are good too. It's good for steady investors. It's good for steady investment over a long period of time. Can't really get hurt that bad. Can't really explode and make huge sums of money if you have that amount of money to invest and you're willing to take that risk. Can't really do that on the way, as I like to call it, when the market kind of moves in a wave, kind of a steady wave. But when you got big up and down moves, when you got decent size up and down moves, we just saw a decent down move the other day. It was like 200 points on the down. I think it was like 30 or 40 on the S&P. That's a good move. That's a good move. And if you start seeing those kind of moves, that gets me excited about the stock market. So I've been invigorated the last set. I've been following it actually very closely for the last 2 or 3 months and with anticipation for things like this might happening. So get an eye on that. You might want to check your portfolio, and you might want to check it out for yourself and maybe ask a far more educated and a far more maybe a portfolio manager for yourself. But I encourage you to do so. And I encourage you to also check out, search, I think it was like NASDAQ and Loyal 3, LOYAL3. If you search NASDAQ and Loyal 3, you should be able to see a press release from them, either on Wall Street Journal or some big investing site. You should be able to find it. They're going to come out with an application to buy stocks, I think on a commission-free basis, and you can also do fractional shares where you can buy like, $10 of Google, even though it's $500 a share, you could buy like 1/5 of a share or whatever, things like that, for a very low marginal cost or no cost at all. I'm not exactly sure what the business model is, but I know that it's going to be a very low cost, low commission, if any commission, on a select number of stocks that you can invest in. And you can do it apparently via a apparently soon via a Facebook app. With two or three clicks of a button, you can invest in a company. And alongside that, you can find out information and do that all on Facebook and probably via other applications. So if you are sometimes like me, I'm always looking for a new vehicle to invest in, like a car or like a Chevy Camaro or something like that. Although that would be, or a Corvette or something like that would be kind of nice, or like a brand new Mercedes. I always see brand new Mercedes, and those cars cost like $70,000, $80,000, sometimes $100,000. Sometimes the sticker price is like $100,000, $120,000 on like a S600. Those cars are just amazing. It's just unbelievable. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like a different brokerage firm that gives you another option, so you could, you know, put some money over here, you get some money over here. I always kind of like doing that. Some people don't like doing that. They want all their money kind of in one place and secure. I like to spread it out, because if one goes broke, if one goes like Goldman Sachs or Lehman Brothers, whichever one it was that went broke, or what, you know, Washington Mutual and stuff like that, you're FDIC insured, you know. And with stock investments, you're not FDIC insured, but the company walks up and runs, and it's like a Ponzi scheme, you do have some recovery options. So I do like to, not that I think something like that will happen, but I just think it's wise to diversify as much as possible. So I always look for new vehicles of investment and new ways to look to spread my money around in different places cheaply, and for cheap, you know, with investment on cheaply, no commission, low commission. I found some new no commission ETFs, not ETFs, but mutual funds this week with Schwab. So I found that to be interesting too. So to close the great show off with like a complete dumpster fire of off-topic investing and political news. Hopefully I didn't bore too many of you, but when you reach my age, I remember saying previous on this show, I remember being 14 and 15, being bored to death by economics and political talk. Well, when you reach my age, that stuff actually starts to become kind of exciting for most of us, for me at least. I kind of grew up watching sports and the news and stuff like that, and that's kind of all my parents let me watch. So I didn't get to watch movies, didn't get to watch a whole lot of sitcom TV or any, definitely not late night TV and stuff like that, and there wasn't the internet. So I watched news and sports, and that's kind of what I grew up on, so that's kind of what I follow today. So hopefully I didn't bore you too much with that, but it all kind of ties together. Our sports cards all kind of goes with economics and bad times and recessions like we're in now, or like times of recovery. Sports cards aren't that, not necessarily that great of an investment to return, you know, quickly over a short period of time. But as time goes on, in times of recovery, in times of like prosperity and growth and wonderful times, like we're on the precipices of here. I don't even know if I used that word properly or even if I said it properly, but it sure did feel good. And I think everybody in the United States sure is going to start feeling good, and across the world is going to start feeling good, start going to feel better about their money situation and jobs and unemployment. All that talk's going to start going away, and we're going to start talking about how great things are and how great the job market and the job prospects are and how everybody has money and stuff like that. Hopefully we start talking about stuff like that, because if we start talking about stuff like that, it means people are going to have tons of money. They're going to have money to blow, and that means they're going to have money to spend on things like sports cards and things you don't necessarily need, but you sure heck of want a lot of if you do have money and you do have extra, a little bit of extra money. I've been blessed. I've been broke. In the 3 years I've done this show, I've been broke, and I've been like down on my knees. I still am broke, but not quite as broke as I have been in the past, especially when I first started the show. This will be the first anniversary where I'm not completely strapped, and it is a sign that the job market is coming back and things are getting better. So hopefully, to end it on that note, hopefully things are going well for you and you're not working. I know I've get some email sometimes, people are working on those kind of things, but I did get some email, sent some cards out last week to somebody that hasn't been posting that much but has been working on a new job, and I love hearing that kind of stuff. And you know, people focus, and we got 82 Redbirds, you know, getting a new opportunity with the Cardboard Connection, and so I love hearing that kind of stuff. But if you know, hey, it's not to say if you got some things going wrong in your life or some things that aren't so good and you want somebody to talk to, you can always send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. If your sports card collection's not going well, if you're not making any money, if you're going broke, if you're going over budget, you could send me an email too. I'll help you out there. I'll help you set some goals, set some focus, and you know, maybe get you back on track. I can't guarantee anything in life or in finances or like in the stock market, anything like that I can't guarantee, but definitely with my experience in the sports card game and kind of buying and selling and collecting and doing all of the above, I can usually provide some very insightful advice there. So if you need that, you can shoot me an email at sportscardshow@gmail.com. Folks, that wraps it up for today. Hopefully you've enjoyed today's program. We'll have lots more this month to celebrate. I could be talking, it might be next month that is like our 3-year anniversary. I don't remember. I just remember it was one of the first J months. There's June and July back to back. I just know it was one of those that we started our podcast. So I'll have to go back and look, and we'll celebrate when that time comes, or if it's already passed, we'll do a little post celebration. So until that day comes, hopefully everything's going good for you and your collection. Folks, we are out of here.